All right, the message today, as your study notes in the bulletin announce, seven disastrous consequences if there were no resurrection. Last week I reminded you that Corinth was a Greek city, by the way, the Greeks did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul had preached to a number of the Greeks at Athens when he was on Mars Hill, and he declared to them the facts of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they ridiculed him. Acts chapter 17, verse 32, it says, "And some mocked." They said, "There's no resurrection." The reason the Apostle Paul is addressing this with the Corinthian church, some of the Corinthian church had been corrupted. Somehow they thought that they could be Christians without believing in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess that I want to start out by saying what a person believes and the philosophies that they hold to make a real difference. Make a real difference. There's ramifications to what you believe. For instance, you should never underestimate the power of beliefs. There's nobody in this auditorium who hasn't heard of Adolf Hitler. I have the English translation in my library of his belief and his philosophy. It is a nearly 500-page book, actually nearly 600-page book, called Mein Kampf, which means in English, my struggle. Hitler believed the stuff that he wrote in there. He believed that Jews were a scourge to society. And in that fat book, I want you to know, beliefs make a difference because there's ramifications for what you believe. For every word in Mein Kampf, 125 people died in World War II. He believed it, and he sold it for the most part to the German people. And he started working with the kids when they were really young by having Hitler's youth and promoting his doctrines and philosophy. So they even changed the Lord's Prayer to pray to Hitler in the schools. So what a person believes and the philosophies that they hold do make a difference. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to the Corinthians. There's people attending church there who just thought that they could be Christians without believing in the resurrection of the dead. So the Apostle Paul, he lays out the consequences. He lays out in a logical way a compelling evidence to those who are sitting on the fence saying, you better wake up because the resurrection does matter. If you don't believe in the resurrection, there are some serious, serious consequences. So let's look at verses 12 and 13 as we look at the first of the consequences. If there's no resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection from the dead? I mean, nobody raises from the dead. That's what many of the Greeks were saying. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Paul makes an obvious observation here. If the dead cannot raise, then Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead. And let me tell you, that is a big theological problem for Christianity. You need to understand that. Why? As we looked at our last message, the Old Testament foretold of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses who saw Jesus Christ after he had risen from the dead. Paul had firsthand encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so If nobody is raised from the dead, then Christ isn't raised from the dead. There's a big problem. Let's look on to the second one. We need to move along quickly. Verse 14a of chapter 15 says this, "And if Christ be not raised, then is our preaching vain." What Paul is saying is, if there really is no resurrection from the dead, then I want to tell you something. Our preaching is senseless. It is useless. Instead of good news, because the gospel is good news, you can translate the gospel of good news, instead of being good news, there's bad news. If Christ isn't risen from the dead, he's telling those Corinthians, hey, look at, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, that's the foundation stone of Christianity. That's the keystone of Christianity. Man is still in his sins, and he's going to die, and he's going to go to hell because the gospel then is not true. Let's look at number 3, verse 14b. In verse 14b, it says this, then it says, your faith is also vain. Now, it's interesting. If you look at the word vain there, it's kinos. And the word kinos means empty, without purpose, fruitless, and worthless. Faith in Christ would be worthless if Christ did not raise from the dead. And if Christ did not raise from the dead, there is no justification. Do you know what justification is? It's a legal term where God looks at us and says, you are not guilty because of what Christ did for you in dying and shedding his blood and raising again from the dead. Paul's logic is really compelling here. If Christ is still in a grave outside of Jerusalem, then the content of his preaching is nothing but empty words. And he, with all the other apostles, were charlatans. More than that, the faith of all those who listened to Paul and his companions is worthless. But he and his listeners would be ill-served if they believed a lie and perpetuated this. I like the way that one preacher put it. I'm just going to read it right here to you. It says, if there were no resurrection, then the hall of the faithful, or the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, would instead be the hall of foolishness. You see, Abel is named as a man of faith, as is Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab and David and the prophets and all others would have been faithful for nothing. They would have been mocked, scourged, imprisoned, stoned, afflicted, ill-treated, and put to death completely in vain. They suffered all that for nothing. All believers of all ages would have believed for nothing, lived for nothing, and died for nothing. See the logical thing that Paul is saying? Think about it for a moment. Paul is saying that if you deny Christ's resurrection, it's to go against all of the pertinent evidence available in the early church. Literally hundreds of people in Paul's day could testify to visually seeing the resurrection personally. 500 people at once saw him between what's called Easter and the Ascension. Paul could tell the Corinthians, go talk to these eyewitnesses. You could have talked to eyewitnesses who saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Even Paul himself had seen Jesus close up and personal on the road to Damascus. Well, let's move on to number 4. Paul goes on and saying in verse 15 and 16, let's look at 15 and 16. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that he raised up Jesus Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then is not Christ raised. It's just reiterating once again what the Apostle Paul has said. You know, all the apostles were liars if Christ hadn't risen from the dead. Every one of these men were false witnesses if Christ was still in the grave. I want to tell you something. Have you ever noticed that men do not die for that which they know is a lie? Men do not die for that which they know is a lie. Now, men do die for a lie, but they think that lie is the truth. And the illustration that I gave was of Adolf Hitler. He thought that was the truth. And many people followed him, and he died, and many other people died. Millions of men died for believing in Hitler and what he taught. But men do not die for what they know is a lie, and yet every single solitary apostle, and many of the early Christians, every single solitary apostle except John, had given their life for the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ, resurrection of the dead and salvation through him and him alone. Now, when you think about it, even though Paul doesn't take it there, if you look at it and consider it, and though Paul doesn't mention it specifically, it follows logically that if the resurrection is not true, then Christ was a liar as well. Remember, Christ said, if they destroy this body in 3 days, what? He would rise from the dead. Instead of Jesus Christ being the victor, he would be the victim. Let's look at verse 17 now. All men would still be in their sins. It says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Paul extends this logic, and he says, do you realize what's happening here? If you don't believe in the resurrection, step by step, Paul reveals to them the spiritual implications of their denial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He tells them of the ramifications of their worthless faith, if that were true. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then he is dead, a dead Christ. Listen to this, a dead Christ is unable to justify believers, and unjustified believers remain in their sins. Without a risen Christ, there is no justification. Without justification, there's no living faith. Without living faith, there is no forgiveness of sins. Hence, he's telling the Corinthians who do not believe in the resurrection, you are not saved. Listen to me. You cannot be saved without believing in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, and his resurrection. Let's look at verse 18. He goes on and says, you know what? All those believers perished. In verse 18 it says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now, the word falling asleep is a Christian euphemism for died. This isn't talking about soul sleep like some and the Jehovah's Witnesses and others teach. It's not talking about that at all, but of the physical body waiting in the grave for the resurrection day. In this current text, falling asleep applies to Christians who died in belief that Jesus Christ had raised from the dead, and they went to be with Christ eternally in heaven. The Corinthians believed in the separation of the body and the soul, and they believed that Jesus Christ was going to return. But Paul's logic continues. He says, if Christ were not raised, the loved ones among Christian believers who had died did not enter into the presence of God, but they're lost in the misery of the unseen world forever. You know, the garbage of the pagan concept. The pagan concept was that you die and your spirit's liberated. We know from the scripture that's not true. If you're a believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're not a believer, your body goes to the grave and your soul and spirit go to hell. Without the resurrection, the sting of death would remain with lasting painfulness. Last one. Number 19, verse 19. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If there were no resurrection, the pagans would be right, because the pagans said the preaching of the cross is foolishness. That's what they said, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Look it up. They said the preaching of the cross, this resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection, that's a bunch of foolishness. And men such as the Apostle Paul and the other apostles and the Christians who suffered for the gospel, they're the ones who should be pitied, because if there is no life to come, then as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:32, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He said, you better weigh your beliefs. And I'm telling you here, you better weigh your beliefs, particularly if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose victorious from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints. Who's a saint? That's one who's trusted Christ as Savior. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. He arose. I'm so thankful that I am not of the number, and there's many people today who deny the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe that Christ died for your sins. They don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let me just tell you, all of the seven things that I was talking about before, that's on their heads. I'm a believer. I believe in that death and that burial and resurrection. And I remember when I came to the Lord and admitted that I was a sinner and called upon his name for his salvation. And friends, I need to tell you that it isn't your philosophy that will save you. It is not your religion that will save you. It is not your good works that will save you. I am here to tell you and shout from the top of the lungs, it is Jesus! And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it is your opportunity to call upon his name today and believe that Christ died for your sins. He was buried, showing that he was truly dead. 3 days he was buried. And they said of Lazarus on the fourth day, by now he what? Stinketh. Christ died and buried, and then he rose again from the dead. I believe that with all my being.